Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle and Rush. It's Ben
Kyle's
Taylor.
In the garage.
I'm coming to you live from a, it looks like a fallout shelter.
how fitting of this show.
No, I'm in the garage of an Airbnb because we're at the beach in during a tropical depression. So that makes no sense whatsoever. But I tell you what, a tropical depression could not be named more aptly because it's depressing. There's no doubt about that.
Well, the problem is you got kids.
Yeah.
So that's
even more depressing.
There goes all
not the kids.
There goes all the activities. So y'all now have to entertain children inside of a house at the beach.
Yep.
So have fun with that, buddy.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. And this is only like day one, so we got a few more to go. So hopefully,
day one of prison.
Yeah, exactly. Media days today was Auburn's day, and Ben, I got a question for you.
Okay,
and it's not. There's a quote that I'm going to attach to it, but this is mostly just a generalized question about Alex Golish. He says so many things correctly. Like he says so many things that Auburn fans want to hear and so many things that directly point to where Auburn was lacking with the previous staff without just saying it. Mm-hmm. That Mike, is this training or is there any way that this can be real, or is this guy just like, he's just the right football coach. Like he's just a football coach, and this is how really good football coaches talk. Like I can't figure it out because it's like he consciously is calling back to things that bothered us with the last staff.
Yeah.
Without even trying. I can't quite figure it out.
I'm more impressed with some of the things that he's not saying and some of the stuff he's holding back. When they try to bait him, he's not giving anybody bulletin board material. He's not giving any newspaper or podcast or, I guess, any sort of media outlet for another school, any ammunition. You know, the big thing they kept asking, what are your goals? They asked him like five times, what are your goals? And he was like, we're not doing goals. We got a standard. There's not goals. This is what's expected. And so that's not a goal. And I loved how he quit. He said goals are like New Year's resolutions. That works great for a couple of months. And then after that, you kind of fall off. So I love to use that. I don't think it's training, Kyle, because I don't think he's been at the highest level yet. I mean, yeah, as an assistant, but when he was at Tennessee or at Central Florida, did he have to face the music? I mean, he was an assistant in the background. I mean, how often do we, you know, we're not interviewing, you know, DJ Durkin right now. We're not talking to him. We're talking to Alex Golish. So he's really at South Florida at the head job. And how much pressure is there at South Florida? I mean, he goes and he beats Florida. That's a Super Bowl win for them. Now they can all act all pissed that, you know, that they didn't like him. But trust me, if he would have wanted to stay, they would have loved it down in South Florida. So
for sure.
I guess because Kirby was on right after him on set, and he said a lot of the same things. So it makes you wonder, could it be coach speak, or could it be that he's – I think he is a
this
great –
This is just how elite coaches – this is just how elite coaches think and talk.
Yes, because, like, there was an AL.com – well, no, they were on AL.com. It was a video that I saw. It was a guest that was on there. Oh, he was a Sports Illustrated talent evaluator and recruiting guy. And they just showed an excerpt from him, and he was kind of comparing Freeze to Golish. And he was like, Golish is the guy that you're not going to have any fun with. Like, he's always going to be evaluating the team, evaluating his program, evaluating his upcoming, you know, watching film, doing whatever. You know, Freeze is the guy that you want to stick out there to shake hands and kiss babies and play golf. But Golish is not that guy. Like, he's not your warm and fuzzy. And I think this is just – I've told you before, man, I think high-level coaches at whatever level it is, NFL, NBA, college, especially SEC and Big Ten, I think they're a little nuts. And I think he's kind of I think he's kind of on that verge of – there wasn't a lot of smiling today. I mean, when people would ask him stuff, he'd go, good question, and he'd start answering it right away. He didn't – he wasn't glad-handed and high-fiving guys and trying to be Mr. Warm
cutting
and fuzzy.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't doing – like Drink telling all his jokes. Like Drinkowitz wants to be a stand-up comedian, so he's going to take shots at people, and Lane's going to do that on the final day. Like you're going to see him do that kind of stuff. Golish is going to be like, I'm here to answer questions, get your questions out so I can get back and start watching film again.
So let me give you an example. Maybe I didn't explain myself. Let me give you an example, okay? Last year, there was the rumors coming out of, I think it was fall camp potentially, or maybe it was spring, where they were like, I'll tell you when it was. It was during the summer when Hugh was doing like the region's golf event or something like that. And he said something to the tune of how he had to ask DJ to tone it down a little bit in practice because he wanted to build Jackson's what?
Confidence.
Yeah. It's very important for us to leave each practice having Jackson Arnold as confident as you possibly can be. Worried about Jackson Arnold's confidence. Okay. That was like the talk, you know, going into the season. If you can have a confident Jackson Arnold, you can be all right. So we're having to do all these things to make sure that he's confident, okay? Yeah. Justin Ferguson asked him essentially like from the time you got to Auburn to the time the time that Byron's got to Auburn till now, what's the thing that you've seen about him increase the most, or like that you like about him the most, or that you've seen change the most? You know what his answer was?
No, I missed that one. He didn't say confidence.
Confidence. He's playing confident. Yeah. He's confident with the offense. He's confident on the field. He's confident when he's got the ball in his hands. He's confident when he throws the ball down the field. So that's what I'm talking about, Ben. When I'm talking about like the pain points of what we heard last year are almost overly emphasized in what we hear as the strengths this year. Yeah. And so I'm like, is that just a coincidence, or do you think that's on purpose? Like, that's just almost too good.
I think it's partially on purpose, but I think that's also how he runs his ship. It just so happens to be opposite of the way the ship was run prior, because Byron, he visited with our good buddy Zach a little bit earlier. And so I sat down and I watched that interview, and they ain't slowing DJ Durkin's defense down against Auburn's offense by any means. As a matter of fact, Byron called out a guy. He said Cody Sigler. I think Zach's question was, what's one guy everybody needs to look out for you're tired of seeing every day in practice? He said Cody Sigler. If he could hit me, he would be in the back. He's in the backfield every time I turn around. Like, he would always have his hands on me. And
I don't think you're catching. Hold on real quick. I think you're missing my question. All right. So do you think having a quarterback that's confident this year, and you accentuate that you're proud of his confidence, runs completely in conflict of what the biggest issue was going into camp last year? My question is, do you think that is legitimate, or do you think that was like, okay, guys, hey, here's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we emphasize Byron Brown's confidence because it's too perfect. Like, it's too perfect. Like,
it is.
And it may just be that that's the case, but like, it's like, man, everything that we were mad about or worried about last year, they address on the nose, and it flies in complete opposite of what the messaging was last year. And as a fan, and it's, you know, guys that cover the team, it's like, I believe it's genuine, but it's almost like too good to be true. It almost seems like it's prepared because it is so dang opposite of the way it was last year. Does that make more sense? Did I explain it better?
That's a little different. And this could be me. It's funny you're wearing your bug hat. This could be me bugging right now. I think it's legitimate. I think that It comes across as legitimate. Now, it does directly, I guess, it's a reversal of things that we heard last year, but I don't think that's by design. I don't think that they sat down or they got on the plane to head to Tampa and, Kirk and Taylor sat with him and said, hey, these are some of the talking points like you need to bring out.
Yeah.
I think he legit is saying, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we have in house right now. Now, I think, Kyle, a ton of that's got to do with, in that scenario in particular, with the confidence thing, the fact that Byron's been with him the last 3 years. So, I mean, I think that the two, so, you know, with Jackson, it seems like that was still just a bad first date that went way too long with the last staff. And so, I think that this is a marriage that they know what they got in each other. And so I think he's confident in Byron. I think Byron's now confident with what he's got around him and the tools he has around him. Byron leaned on today about Cole Best. So I think that's legitimate. However, there's that little Auburn cynicism in the back of my head. that black helicopter thing where I'm like, okay, I'm thinking way too hard on this. Like, I'm thinking this is too good to be true.
That's kind of where I'm going. I don't want to sound like I'm being like a conspiracy theorist and I think that like they're covering up deficiencies and things like that. It's mostly just so refreshing that it feels not real. you know what I mean? It's so refreshing to hear that it feels almost like it can't be real. This has to be an act.
Okay. So this has to be the title of this episode, confidence ? Because are you confident in what you saw in the spring that it's a totally different atmosphere /practice/ locker room than what it was 6 months ago?
I'm confident of that because I've seen it with my own eyes.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that's why I think it's real and I think it's legitimate. As much as I would love to be the conspiracy theorist, the proof's in the pudding from what we've seen firsthand, at least the attitude that we've seen firsthand and the way practices are run that we've seen firsthand. But there's that little, you know how those cartoons, you got the angel and the devil on your shoulder right there?
Yeah.
There's the confidence angel that's sitting over here. And then there's the conspiracy devil that's going, don't buy in, dude. Don't do it again.
Well, see, Ben, you know, what I believe we are learning is that not so much, it may not be so much of like the fact that everything that's going on now is right versus how much was going wrong. That's another thing I can't quite figure out. Is it more that they're doing things the right way or moving in the right direction? Or is it that, boy, there were just so many things going in the wrong direction? It is just so fascinating to me how opposite things are. It's fascinating to me how, number one, how much time and effort he puts into things, how often he's in the building in comparison to the previous.
With everybody. Like, as they said, he's down there at weight training. He's in film. Nope. He's everywhere.
You're not taking it easy on anybody.
No.
You want it hard. You want it tough versus we're, you know, worried about hurting people's feelings previous and so on and so forth. Like, it is just a stark contrast. It is just such a stark contrast. And as a casual observer or a fan, you have to look at it and you're almost like, it just almost has to feel too good to be true. Mm. But on the flip side, it's clear more and more every single day how bad or how poor things were run previously. And it's just, I think that's why I latch on to these little things, because of how refreshing it is, because it's so different.
Yeah, and I don't want it to turn into a Hugh defamation pod, but I will say this. I had this explanation. I told my dad. I was actually talking to my father about that, about this kind of same similar, because he was asking me, he says, what do you think of the new coach, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and dad's not one that's going to, like, he ain't never going to read a message board. He's not even going to look at pods or anything of that nature. He's just basically asking me one-on-one on our conversation. I said, you know what? It seems like from what I've seen this year with this staff and this head coach, it seems like last year's head coach was in a retirement plan.
Mm.
And that this was going to be the last stop, win, lose, draw, whatever. So,
dang.
You know what happens when we all get a little complacent in our job or it gets a little later in life and there's a retirement plan? This seems like Auburn was the retirement plan. And you know what?
For different reasons.
Like, yes. Yes. And I mean, kid, he's got kids getting married. He's having grandkids. He's wanting to stay in this area. Like, this was his retirement. He was moving.
Auburn seemed convenient. Yes. Like a super like, yes. It was very, very convenient. Whereas Alex Golish looks at Auburn as an opportunity.
It looks at a challenging opportunity. I mean, he's on the phone at midnight trying to get the dang job after a game. So, I think you're talking about two very different personalities with two very different situations. I think this is Golish is, it's a challenge. It's an opportunity. And with Hugh and the way he handled it, it was, hey, I got the job. This is where we're going to probably live the rest of our life. This is my retirement plan.
Yeah.
And because you do hear some coaches that go, I don't ever want to coach anywhere again. I get that because you're talking about you're in love with the school. I think Hugh was saying that because he was wanting to live here, raise kids and grandkids here, and they just happened to be a Division I football school that he could coach at while he was here, and it just did not go well whatsoever. And so, that's how I used it with my father's. I said, I think you're talking about a retirement plan versus an investment plan is what Alex Golish is coming forward with. And I like so that. That's the way I look at it. I don't know if that's possibly, you know, the say all be all, but when you mention the scenarios that he's addressing, I don't know why we're shocked he's addressing them, because hell, we addressed them all season last season and addressed them all off season until we got him.
Maybe they were as obvious. Maybe they were as obvious as we thought.
Yeah, as obvious to everybody. Yeah, to everybody else. Like maybe to outsiders outside of the Auburn quote unquote family. Maybe other people saw him and thought, I mean, you heard Heupel said it day one where he said, you know, that Auburn's got potential because they see the athletes there. Kirby said it today. You've heard other coaches mention it. So I think that other people saw it, and Alex Golish not only saw it, he called up the administration and said, I want this gig. I don't want to go to Arkansas. Yeah. There's way more potential at Auburn than there is Arkansas.
Yeah. I like this quote too, that he had today. And this is almost also one of those, like, it's too perfect to be real quotes when they're always trying to push him. I think they're trying to push him to say how many wins is like a good season. Like, what's the goal on wins? And he's like, I don't set goals. I set standards.
Yeah.
What does that sound like to you? To me, that sounds like, you remember when Saban was hired, Saban, you remember the process?
Process. And Kirby did that afterwards today too. He said kind of the same thing.
So it's not so much about, hey, we're going to go try to win 10, 11 games. It's like, we're going to do these. We're going to make sure that we're elite in these however many areas. We're going to set a standard in these areas. And then the wins will come. Like, if we uphold a standard in these particular areas, we know that those wins will come. So our goal is to make sure that we're upholding those standards, setting those standards and then upholding them, because the success will follow. Like, we don't have to put a number out there. We don't have to throw that. To me, that might be one of Auburn's problems, is like, we're always, hey, what's the line? You think we can cover 7.5 this year? You think we can get seven and a half wins? Yeah. You think we can beat Alabama? Do you think we can, you know, win 9 games? Like, it's always that versus like, okay, let's go back to the beginning. What standards do we want to uphold as a program? Let's implement those and let's hold everyone accountable. And if you do those things, then those 9-10 win seasons should follow.
Yeah.
That you just got to be able to know what those standards are and then have the discipline to uphold them. I mean, that's exactly what I want to hear out of a coach. I know y'all joked we all joked and banged on Saban when he started talking about that, because I think he said that right after he, it became kind of a meme after, you know, the first year where they won like seven games. Yeah. Oh, we joked about the process. Ha ha ha. And they only won seven games. Well, look where it ended. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the kind of things I think you want to hear from a coach that could, you know, maybe get Auburn, not necessarily over the hump, but to a more sustainable plateau of success versus just firecracker spurts of success.
Well, and the reason you want to create the standard and you want to create the process, because he said what Saban used to say. I told you, Kirby said it after him today, that then the coaches don't have to be the leaders. The Byron Browns are the leaders. They can set the standing, say, hey, bub, that's not the standard.
You had a good point about that too.
Yeah, that's not what we do here. This is not, and Brown said that in an earlier interview on Digital Drive, where he said that. He said, we have to let guys, he said, we as teammates have to let guys know where they stand and what's expected out of them. And and he did a great quote too, because he even said something about, you know, I always thought leadership was just showing up, and that's not it. He said, I would love to say that leadership is to lead by example, but every now and then you basically got to snatch a knot in somebody's head and let them know, hey, that's not what we do here. These are the expectations. So you either get on board with the expectations of, hey, the portal's going to open after the first of the year. That's probably where you need to be instead of in this locker room. And when you get players saying that, and Saban had players saying that. Saban, he even used to say, he said, at the end of the day, all I had to do was depend on my linebackers and my quarterbacks. They took care of the locker room. He said, I didn't have to do that. He said, I'd go yell and I'd make a scene, but they held them accountable for everything that needed to be done. So, and it's funny you mentioned that answer, because it wasn't just that about the wins. That same reporter in that question said, you know, is it successful to beat Alabama? Is it successful to beat Georgia? And I'm glad that he didn't go down that road of going, we need to beat Alabama, we need to beat Georgia. He didn't throw that out there. He just said, the standard is, here's what our standard is, here's where our expectations are. You follow that process, success will follow you. Exactly. So if you can convince everybody in that locker room, and he said that numerous times too, if we can get everybody on the same page in that locker room, then it's, you know, the potential is out of this world. But you're going to have some ups and downs. I mean, you can't expect Byron Brown to go, you know, 21 of 23 with four touchdowns every game and 100 yards rushing. And so there's a standard on both sides of the football that they're expecting, and there are going to be some slip-ups. I mean, we're talking about 18 to 24-year-old kids. So there's going to be some days where it's not great. But as long as they will uphold the standard and practice, that goes for practice, for class, for film study, for games, then Auburn's got something to be excited about.
I'm with you. I'm about to let the garage up because it's getting really hot in here. I'm going to get out of here. Ben, appreciate you joining us. I love this show, man. I love these conversations. I get so many comments about people that talk about this particular show every single day that, you know, hey, this may be, you know, one of the best ones that you guys do. And the back and forth is obviously great. So guys, make sure you like and subscribe, and we will be back again tomorrow. I'm sure we're going to be discussing more quotes and things like that Media Day as we're like 2 weeks away from fall camp.
Bama's tomorrow. Yeah. Alex Golish brought that up numerous times. He brought up the timeline numerous times today. He's like, at the end of this week, we're 2 weeks away. And after that, he kept talking about this is the expectations when we go to Atlanta. I'm telling you, he's messed up in the head, dude. All he thinks about is football only. That's it.
Perfect. I don't even want him to be able to balance a checkbook.
Like, he can't. There's no chance. He gets.
He doesn't even have the login to Wells Fargo. Like,
they're having to feed him on the plane. He didn't even know to eat. He just knows where's my computer, where's the film, what's the process that we're doing today to get better. He's a freak. I'm sorry, he is. He's in a good way. He's a freak in a good way. Yeah,
I get it. We're gonna get out of here. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.